Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Happy spring and welcome to Webcology. It is the 21st of March, 2024. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Hey, Christine.
Hey, Jim. How are you today?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm fighting with my cat right now so he doesn't knock me off the podcast.
Okay.
He's trying to get on my computer. Sorry. Go ahead.
quick shout out to Audience Key. A huge, huge thanks and love to Audience Key for being the sponsor of the show. It was an incredibly busy week. The last couple of weeks have been like, you know, almost felt like slow news week. Suddenly, springtime rolls around and spring is coming in like a lion. I guess it's kind of already started with the spam and March 2024 core update. Spam update is done. It finished sometime yesterday evening. Sites that violated Google's spam policies probably tended to get punished, and they're probably going to tend to get punished for a little bit longer. Especially the ones that were manually removed. So what do you think about this, Christine? It took them 2 weeks to go through the entire spam update. And now they're telling people who were punished by it, it'll take them perhaps months, if not longer, to get back in.
Yeah, and if they can. You got hit with pure spam. That usually requires some major changes. It is interesting because there's somebody that said that they had seen somebody recover already, which I found really unusual. But as far as the study that was done by Glenn Gabby, and I may be saying his last name wrong because I only ever see it in print, is that he studied 1,000 websites that were hit by the manual actions, most likely because he's looking at outside data but they completely fell off the map. That none of them have recovered at all, which is not surprising because normally, because I do this, you do this, recovering from a manual action requires you to fix whatever you think is wrong, or if Google gave you some URLs, which they rarely do anymore, but maybe they did in this one, fix the issue, write a reconsideration request, submit that reconsideration request. Big tip on the reconsideration request, just do a big mea culpa. Made big mistake, fixed it, won't ever do it again. And then you have to wait quite a while for them to review it. And then even if they lift the manual action, it can take weeks or months to get your rankings back. They don't come back instantly.
Well, indeed, they actually want to see that you're going to remain on good behavior before giving you that space back again.
That's very true. I don't know if there's a process part involved as well, but yes, they definitely want to make sure that they don't lift the action, you go right back to doing the bad stuff. So it is interesting. I don't know why people thought they'd be recovered in 2 weeks. That would be highly, highly unlikely and highly unusual. But if they made a mistake, I am working with a site right now. It looks like they made a mistake. Mm-hmm. You can send in a reconsideration request right now and just say, hey, I think you made a mistake. Look at our site and explain why. Original content, we didn't buy links. We don't see what the issue could be. And you can give it a try, but don't just randomly do it if you know you have issues. Because once you start asking for reconsideration, it will delay the next reconsideration request from being responded to.
Well, it's something you kind of want to be serious about, right?
Yeah. But just so people know, because they may be like, well, some stuff was a little wonky. But no, if you think there's anything that you did that could be spammy, then don't do a reconsideration request until you know. But if you know you didn't do anything spammy, and like I'm going to review the site for these people to see if I see anything that Google would see as spammy, and there isn't anything, make sure you give a reconsideration request. Matt Cutts years ago told me you can get a junior reviewer on something that doesn't really know how to rate well yet and make a mistake. And they could, because they did so many so fast, they could even be using AI for some of this.
There were two types of demotions in the spam update. One of them was a manual penalty, and the other was an algorithmic demotion.
Yeah, spam brain.
Yeah. Either way, you probably want to review all of the content on the website. Google, especially if Google actually took the time to manually remove you from their index, you need to start from ground zero. Like, don't mess around with that. But if you got hit with the algorithmic penalty, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different angles to come from. I've been watching the chatter on Reddit, in the SEO community, and one of the I'm almost getting annoyed by this. And I'm sorry to people in this community, but a lot of people lost rankings on personal blogs, and those personal blogs had been moneymakers at one time, and now they're not. I guess the question I'm asking is, why should one piece of content rank over another piece of content? Many people who are angry about, you know, losing placement at Google for their personal blogs were not really publishing anything substantially better than other content that was out there. And in some cases, it was substantially worse.
But that shouldn't fall under spam brain. That would fall under core update or something else, HCU. But SpamBrain is really supposed to be targeting what Google considers spam. So I'll give you the quick list for users who don't know about this stuff. Because if you haven't been doing Black Hat, you probably have no idea. So cloaking, which is where you show one version of your site to Google and another version of your site to users, that doesn't mean simple things like if you have like images of different size, or you put, you know, something under accordions or things like that. They're talking about literally giving two different sites. Doorway pages, which is where you just create doorway pages for queries, which means you want people to come to your site and they're just going to get this one page for this query. It's not like a well-written page or anything like that. It's just meant to get you into the site. Expired domain abuse is a new one, which is affiliate content on a site that was used by a government agency or commercial medical products or casino, especially if you bought a domain and you repurposed it to manipulate search rankings because of the link value or something like that, and you didn't do a full redesign, rewrite of all the site, just made it a new site, and you're trying to work on the old site, the value of it, then that's one of them. Hacked content, if you've been hacked, that's definitely an indication, but that's something you would probably address immediately. Hidden text or links, so if you're doing things to manipulate search engines, the first one that was ever worldwide known many, many years ago was white on white text, which nobody does anymore, except it is possible that because people know that they can get that information into the AI crawlers that way, someone could have done it, but I haven't heard anything about it. But they want to read this. It's a Google developer doc on search quality. Then we have keyword stuffing. People do that a lot of time by accident. I had one site, which was a medical site, and they did like testing and stuff. And their menu was a mega menu, and like it had testing after 60 words. And it's like, you may not thought that was stuffing, but make a header called testing and then run your test underneath it. So stuff like that, you can't accidentally keyword stuff. And then there's link spam, where if you've been buying links, and by the way, if you're going to pay the same for bought links as you are going to acquire links, but they're really easy to detect a lot of the time, especially because people put so many disavows in and told people where the bad networks were. But they usually just devalue those, but SpamBrain can demote you for that. Machine generated traffic, which does include things like scraping, but I've not really seen a site getting hit for that. Scraping people's content though and repurposing it, Google does have specific algorithms, whether you write it with AI or you spin it, definitely can get you hit. Malware, malicious behaviors, misleading functionality, scaled content abuse, using generative AI tools or similar tools to generate many pages without adding value for users, which is what you were kind of saying, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
But they wouldn't do that
to a
handwritten.
This is actually one of the ones where I think much of the losses came from.
Yes, and I'm reading this directly.
I'm reading the document along with you. This is in Google Developers Doc. Go to Google, ask for Google spam policies. This will be your number one document.
Yes, and scale content abuse is the one we're seeing the most. amongst the chatter. You and I have been looking at the chatter online. So basically, if you're using generative AI or Spinner, but Spinner's been around a long time, to generate menu pages, to scrape feeds or search results, to create pages, stitching, combining content with different web pages from other sites or even your own without adding value, creating multiple sites with the intent of hiding the scaled nature of the content, and creating many pages where content makes little or no sense to the reader but contains words. That's generally Spinners. That's not usually AI because AI writes well, but Spinner content will do that all the time. This is the one you really want to look at most likely because these are the ones we're seeing get hit the most. And then scraped content, which is where you're scraping it from other sites and regurgitating it onto your site. Spinners and AI are the way that people do this the most. Also, this is your thing. Now, if you're just taking like a tidbit and then adding to it, like I read this, like we do here. Here's a story today. Now we're going to add to it. That's okay. They're talking about specifically where you're taking and regurgitating content. They even have an AI algorithm for this to detect when it's been done with AI. This is only for that purpose, though, for scraped content being regurgitated. And then site reputation abuse, that's where you're doing third-party stuff. So that wouldn't be you guys, especially blogs. And then there's a couple more. I'll go real quick. Thin affiliate pages where you have affiliate pages with affiliate links. You can have affiliate links. Google has no problem with that. But if you're just writing like one paragraph and then you're stuffing it with affiliate links, you're going to get those pages will be a problem. And then user-generated spam. So that's just like spamming stuff on other sites, trying to get rankings. So if you're on Reddit, like making posts every day, trying to get those to the top, Google can detect that and hit the main site. And then there's just other things that there's some other legal things that wouldn't apply here for most people. So the biggest one, I think, is going to be scaled. The biggest ones is going to be link spam, machine-generated traffic. I'm not machine-generated. I'm sorry, scaled content abuse and scraped content. Those are the three most likelies in this update.
Okay, well, before, and thank you for heading me off in the past before I went on a rant. But before I do go on a rant, if you were hit by the spam update, this is the document to refer to. If you're crossing the line, even if you think you're crossing the line on any of the above, and there's a lot of them, redo your website, redo your thinking. And in many cases, I earnestly urge you to redo your reasoning for having the website in the first place. Are you adding value to the web? And you know what? It's totally cool to add value to the web and make money doing it. Totally, to absolutely, and in fact, we urge you to do that. But it's not cool to just pollute the web with a whole bunch of garbage and expect reward for it, because that's going to bring even harsher crackdowns.
Yeah, and we have to. There are some people I did see that did generate their own content, their own photos, their own everything. And this is one of our stories for today. I'm just going to add it here is that when this is all over, there will be a form put up, which means you can give feedback to Google. I don't know that they'll directly help you, but you can let them know that they hit your site erroneously. But be very honest with yourself, like Jim said, like you're going to the doctor and the doctor's like, "Do you do this?" And you're like, "Oh, I don't know." No, be honest. Like, did you do it? Did you buy? Did you go through this list here of things that are in the spam algorithm, spam
Well,
brain?
again, and if to make it to run your online business, you have to do that stuff. Why are you doing it?
Yeah, and for those who remember Penguin, the original Penguin was basically the same thing. It was about the list of black hat techniques. Now they're called spam policies. So if you're having PTSD from Penguin, because Penguin used to do this too, and or you got the manual action, just no, go through here, be honest with yourself. If you didn't violate any of this, you might need to get a professional to take a look and see how you might be misrepresenting yourself as spam. I have had sites that got manual actions for spam that were not spam. But the way their sites were set up and what they were doing made it look to Google like it was like a spammy site.
And when all this is said and done, if you want to avoid a substance abuse problem, you may want to seek help from a professional.
Yes, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim. Go
Well, in a totally different matter.
ahead.
Or as Danny Sullivan will prescribe, just be zen about this. Have patience. The 2024 core update is continuing to roll out. If you are getting algo vibes from the core update, but you didn't get whacked by the spam update. Relax. There's a couple more weeks for the remainder of the March 2024 core update to roll out. And the truth is, anything can happen. The dice might land in a totally different way than you think they're going to land right now.
Yes, I have a friend who is actually hit by the initial rollout here because the CU has been running the whole time too. It didn't stop. Spam didn't stop, and the CU start. It started at the same time, but 2 days later, it all came back. So while they're doing this rollout, especially because they put the HCU into the core update, so they're doing a new configuration. There could be mistakes. They realize it, and then they pull back on what was devalued. So definitely wait till the end before you do anything. Another piece of advice, because I see this all the time now, and I think it's because we have a lot of new people that haven't gone through this before, because we haven't really gone through this kind of devaluation, mass devaluation since like Penguin and Panda, you can't do anything to help yourself now with this update. So I see people going, "Well, I'm changing my pages right now." They'll be talking to John or something. It's like changing your pages right now may help you later, but the things that are rolling out now have already been scored and devalued, like a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and they roll it out at one time. So you can't do something this week that's going to make everything better tomorrow. So wait till it all runs through. And one last piece of advice, because I wanted to say this on the spam brain. There's a tendency when you get a pure spam action to just want to create a new site and just move everything over. If Google can detect it's the same site, we don't know they're doing this on this one, but they have done this before, like on Penguin, they will move the manual action to the new site or the devaluation to the new site. If they know all you did is change domain names to try to subvert the penalty devaluation that you received. So don't do that. You'll just, because what will happen is it won't happen right away. You'll get rankings for a few months and then suddenly they will go away and you'll wonder why. And that's why, because Google transferred that manual action or transferred that devaluation, and they might not tell you they did either of them. So you have to fix the things that are wrong if you did something wrong.
Working on the theory, they caught you once, they'll catch you again.
Exactly. And they catch it by, and also if
Shit.
somebody got like all the things in their GSC were all devalued because one got a pure spam. If it's in the same GSC, they have said this before, and I can't find the citation, but they have said it, is that if they find one thing, if they gave you a manual action in your account that is pure spam, they will sometimes go through all the rest of the sites and see if they are doing the same thing.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, if for the time being, sit tight, don't make a lot of content change. You know what a good thing to do right now is, and it's
Agreed.
not you're not going to see massive changes for it. And if you do, it's probably because you've made your site faster, tighter, and better. Just some technical SEO. This is a great time to work on technical SEO.
Oh, and by the way, core updates that I've worked on, since core updates are all the main ranking signals, it does not mean necessarily content, right? A lot of people just go for content. Everyone I've out of all the ones I've recovered, and there have been quite a few, only like 10% have been content. 90% have been technical issues. They're big technical. They're huge, massive. They're not little things you have to dig for. But you do need to, you just, if it's during this time, get someone to start reviewing your site
Yeah, right
that knows
now,
how to audit.
spend time on indexability. Spend some time on making sure that your images are loading quickly and optimally. That you're not, loading up these massive, hurking oversized images that cell phones don't need to download every freaking time. There's so many technical things you can do right now if you don't if waste, spending a whole bunch of time rewriting your content is going to get you nowhere. It's not going to help right now. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks from now, but today, not so much.
Exactly.
So if you need to use your time wisely, make a better website now.
And seriously, get a professional who does auditing to review your site. I'm not doing this for me, because I
One
do
of the
auditing
reasons I
too,
was
but
really happy we had Patrick from Sitebulb on last week. It was a really, really good time to have him on.
yes. Yeah, get someone who knows how updates and devaluations work. Because someone who just does regular SEO will not know what to look for in those cases. So you want someone who has a history of doing this kind of auditing so that they know what the different algorithms look for and how to fix it.
Okay, speaking of somebody who has a history, it's a good segue into the next story. There's some fairly significant changes in Google in the management at Google Search, and
There was?
well, it's almost kind of like a game of musical chairs. But here's how it goes. I'm going to read a whole bunch of names, and then we'll get into the backgrounds and who they are and all that sort of stuff in a couple seconds, okay?
Okay.
Liz Reed is the new head of Google Search. She's replacing Pandu Nayak, who has stepped down as lead of search, who has stepped down as the lead of search quality and ranking. Kathy Edwards has stepped down as the lead of Google Apps, Google News, Google Discover, and other parts of the Google ecosystem. Finally, Chinu Venkatachari, Venu Venkatachari has stepped up to lead Google's quality and ranking teams, taking over in place of Pandu Nayak. Now, who are these people and what do they do and all that sort of stuff?
Pandu was Panda, right? Panda algorithms?
I'm sorry?
Was Pandu the one who did the Panda algorithms?
Long, long, long time ago, yes.
Yes, it's in the core ranking symbols now, but I just was making sure it was the same person.
Okay, so Liz Reed had led up core search experiences for the past few years. Now she's leading up all of search. She's the whole search experience is under her belt. She's been around since 2003. She worked on Google Local, Google Search, Google Maps, and search has been her world for the last 20 years.
And we should say that Pandu is not going away. He's becoming the chief—I don't know the official title—but chief
Chief
scientist of
scientist.
search.
That's
Of
his job is
search,
now chief scientist, which is mostly how do you keep all of the systems running and working together and have them both inform and show themselves in generative AI. And as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, nobody, including Google, have actually cracked that yet.
yes.
Okay, so Pandu Nayak, not leaving Google, moving on to become chief scientist.
Of search.
I'm sorry, yep, chief scientist search. Kathy Edwards has been involved in Google since Google acquired. I'm sorry, since Kathy Edwards has been involved in
She was,
Google's.
yeah, can you? I don't actually, the
She was
long,
acquired from Apple after Apple bought her startup.
yeah, and she moved to the long-term bets team and knowledge and information. I actually have to say, I don't know what that is, but they help incubate new product ideas in partnership with leaders across the system. But yeah, that's what she'll be moving to. But she's moving back to Australia to be closer to her family. That's why.
And Chinu Venkatachari is going to lead Google's search quality and ranking teams. Anybody remember who used to lead Google's search quality team? That was Matt
Matt
Cutts'
Cutts. I
original position.
was like, wait, was it Matt or is Matt?
Venkatachari has worked at Google since tw since November 29. He left in 2014, came back in October 2022 as VP of engineering. And again, now he's lead as of March 2024, he's lead of Google Search Quality. So there you have it. Buck stops, ultimately, the buck stops on Liz Reed's desk. She's in charge now.
Yes.
Cool thing, she comes from a search background. Again, search has been in her blood for the last 20 years. So the rush, the headlong rush, and sometimes nonsensical rush into AI ser as search seems to be mellowing or possibly over. That's a signal I get from here anyway.
What is over?
Well, Google has been pushed. In the last year, we've been feeling like Google has been pushed into making SGE the search experience. SGE is still going to be part of, very important part of search moving forward, but it's almost certainly not going to take over from the 10 blue links anytime soon. And I think Reed's promotion to head of search suggests that Google wants to focus on quality results more than on bells and whistles around the results.
Yeah, she's worked on things like circle to search, you know, where you circle something, and her AI, the things she's worked on in AI machine learning are basically have been things to add to the experience, not to take away from the experience or change the experience to something else. And so there is a misnomer going around the community right now. I'm just going to say it. Somebody posted that from an article The Verge wrote, which be careful anything The Verge writes on SEO. We know they've been wrong a lot. But they said that the search will become much more like SGE. That was not her saying that. That was Verge saying that. She said that it would be more like when you search for something, and this goes with her history. If I wanted to get a lawnmower, I could take a picture of the lawnmower and maybe get extra information. But they want to have it so you take a picture of your lawn, and then they can tell you what kind of lawnmower you need for a hilly lawn. So that's the kind of thing she's looking at adding to it. And she did not say that it's going to become much more like SGE. She's worked at SGE, and she'll be definitely a part of what they do with SGE, but that is not what she said the direction of search. The direction of search should be more the kind of product she's worked on, which is enhancing the information you get when you search for something, not replacing search.
I watched The Social Network the other day. We watched that movie again. I think
I've
that movie
never seen
was
it.
first made in like 2013 or 2011 even. It was made a long, long time ago. And one of the cool things about seeing this movie, it was an okay film. It wasn't great, it wasn't amazing, but it was an okay film. But one of the cool things about seeing it was looking at the original face of Facebook. Do you remember what that environment used to look like?
No, I'd have to go to the Wayback Machine. Oh, by the way, it was 2010. I just did this thing called Google search and found that.
Interesting, you could do that. Now, in 2010, Facebook looked radically different and acted radically different than it does today. So, 13 years later, things changed. The stuff we've been seeing AI as search over the last year are people's initial imaginings of what AI might be able to do. This is what we think it should do and what the users will use it for. And like Zuckerberg and crew in the initial Facebook, they know they got lightning in a bottle. They just weren't sure how users were going to use it. And I think that again, this the experience that Google had with SGE and that Bing has certainly had with using ChatGPT and now Copilot has shown that users aren't using AI search. I don't even I might calling it AI search, but they aren't using AI in search the way that Bing or even Google thought they were going to. And so plans change. We will see a different iteration of AI-infused search and a different iteration after that before something actually catches on.
Yeah, and with a whole new team and the people that were on the team moving up or into roles that are a different part of that, but still part of that, it'll be interesting to see where the new, because they're not new to the company, obviously, which makes me feel much better that they've been around for a long time. But that they'll add a different perspective. That
Well, I
will
mean,
be.
like I think somebody has to add a different perspective to plans around AI and search. I mean, Sam Altman certainly added a different perspective this week, eh?
Hey, by the way, can I say his quote real quick? Because I really love this quote. Do you know his quote?
I'm waiting to hear it.
You know what? Now I gotta find it. Just so go ahead. I will say it when I find it. It was a great quote though.
Well, okay, so Sam Altman isn't interested in telling you how he's going to build a better search engine than Google because that's not what he's doing. It was never what he was doing. In fact, the concept of building a better search engine than Google is boring to Sam Altman. It's not about being a search engine, it's about how people use AI and what AI can be used for. AI is amazing at summarizing. takes a huge amount of information and summarizes it, you've really got to check on the accuracy of the summary afterwards. But it's not a search engine.
It's not a search engine. It doesn't do information retrieval. I had that discussion today on Facebook. It's
And
not information
nobody,
retrieval.
according to Sam Altman himself, of anybody who has more done more to popularize AI in the modern era, or at least the LLM version of AI in the modern era, Sam Altman himself says no one's cracked how to do an AI search engine.
Right.
Nobody, it's not there yet.
Yeah, he says basically it's, it's they haven't, his direct quote was, nobody's cracked the code yet. Repeating what Bing did was not what Sam Altman had in mind. He called it an example of a cool thing. So like you were saying, like early Facebook.
Bell and whistle.
Yeah, the intersection of LLMs plus search, I don't think anyone has cracked that the code on that yet. I would love to go do that. I think that would be cool, is what he said. So they when you see people using LLMs as search, I had a discussion with someone today. Like, I don't do that because of the probability of wrong information being higher than I'm willing to deal with. Remember, it's just pattern recognition, and where it's like, hey, the next word in this sentence, based on my trillion documents or trillion tokens of training, is should be this, and they ground it. Bing grounds it in the search, so it's relevant to what you search for. But it's not going to, like Google's is going to find a page that has in its storage to match your query that someone has written about that topic. So that's why it can be wrong, because if it doesn't have enough training on something, or it doesn't have a most probable word, it will just insert whatever goes it thinks could go in there. And that's why it shouldn't be used for a search. Like, it's because it's just not a search project. Now, I know Copilot is being used that way in some of its products. I don't know if Copilot has a better way, like they're doing more search than they are saying they're doing. But when you're just dealing with Bing search or Google search or any of the search products, they're not, the SGE or the Copilot are not doing search. They're just producing sentences.
Yeah, again, I don't see a way around using crawlers to produce search results, even if the summary of those results is AI generated. I don't see a way around crawling and looking at information on a page by page by page by page, even if the pages are created dynamically basis at this point. Maybe in the future, but not today.
Also, the big problem I see with Altman's vision of whatever he wants to do is he doesn't believe in advertising.
Well, okay, well,
So,
he's got to figure a way to pay for it, but that's a whole, Zuckerberg didn't believe in advertising either.
right. And but the thing is, and I learned this years and years ago, that I worked at National Wildlife Federation. I was a trainer for the call center, one of my first jobs, and they would someone order $500 worth of stuff. But they added that tax that we all know, no one even thinks about now. But if you had a store in that state, they had to tax you online. At that time, no one had to be taxed online. So you get that tax-free thing. And people would put $500 of product in their order, but they would cancel the order over a dollar tax. Like, people don't want to pay for stuff. So they pay for open AI chat because there's a specific reason they may want to use it. But I don't see people paying $20 a month to use a search engine. And I don't know any other way around advertising if you don't.
Well,
The
again,
people paying.
Sam Altman will come around to advertising, I think, when
He
the
tries to get the
realities
product.
of running something really expensive come around to Sam Altman. Although, as he said, mixing advertising and AI will create a dystopian world. I mean, that is a direct quote.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
And he's right, but it's going to happen a million ways to Sunday, with or without his participation. Maybe. If we're really lucky, the fine folks at Yahoo may have cracked this. Unfortunately, we don't know because
They
Yahoo's
won't
keeping a
say.
lid on stuff for a little while longer. But
It's
folks,
still
get the
there.
memo. Yahoo's coming back.
We at least know Yahoo is coming. Yahoo. I know I'm saying it like you. I'm not Canadian.
What do you mean? Yahoo.
You say Yahoo. We say Yahoo.
Oh, indeed. Well,
Yeah.
we say it right. At any rate, you should emphasize there is an exclamation mark at the end. It's important to remember that. It's not Yahoo,
Yes.
it's Yahoo. They
Yahoo!
they say so themselves with their exclamation mark.
And I was going to say, just go ahead. I was going to.
Well, the thing Yahoo's fascinating in that they have long been one of the largest content networks. I mean, Yahoo was the Google of its time. Its time was only about 2 years, but it was the Google of its time in the very earliest days of the web. And then it became one of the largest content networks, and it's still one of the largest content networks anywhere. Like, there's just so much substance in Yahoo, but no one's known what to do with all that stuff for the last, what, decade and a half? Now they're back on the scene.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a nice, diversity in the search engine world, because I remember when we had that. So it'll be nice to see. And we know many of the people on the team, and it's a really, really good team, really smart people. So,
Yep. So
but
Yahoo may
Yahoo.
have this coming up, but we don't know. We honestly haven't a clue. For real. If we stumbled upon this by mistake, honest to goodness, it was a mistake. We're idiots.
Oh, and speaking of new things, we forgot to mention GPT-4. Sam Altman thinks it kind of sucks.
Well, relative to
Direct
what's
quote.
coming.
Yes, but apparently it might have finally a release date of this summer. So it's just been kind of in the ether, like no one's really had any definites. But in an interview that he did this week with Lex, he said that it might be this summer. So if you're keeping an eye out on ChatGPT and you want to see ChatGPT-5, keep a lookout this summer.
ChatGPT-4 would shine your shoes. ChatGPT-5 will regrow your teeth,
Yes, and
apparently.
there are reports that there are enterprise companies that have already gotten access to ChatGPT-5. So it is definitely on the it's definitely on the coming out stage, but they have to red team it still, which means they have to test it for all the vulnerabilities, which could delay the process.
Not even gonna, I'm not, you know what? I'm not even going to venture a guess on how much more advanced ChatGPT 5 is over ChatGPT 4. I'm just going to guess extraordinarily.
Maybe we'll see. Like the four was supposed to be like this great jump from 3.5, but it was a jump, but it wasn't a massive jump. So we'll see. Also, people should be aware that the chatbot store for OpenAI is got a real spam problem. They don't do a whole lot of moderation, and they don't do any security checks on what's put in the store. So right now, it's filling up with things that could actually cause you problems, like copyright issues, like pretending to be like a Disney character. The one they cited in the story from TechCrunch is Avatar, The Last Airbender. So you could find yourself in a copyright issue. There's academic dishonesty issues, impersonation issues. So anyway, be really careful when you go to the ChatGPT, the OpenAI, I'm sorry, chat store, that you're getting something that's legitimate, won't cause you a problem, and made by a reputable person.
Okay, we're kind of rounding our corner into our last 15 minutes. The time always flies. I want to get a couple quick SEO stories just through the churn, just to
Let's
make sure
challenge
that the
ourselves.
sorry.
Just challenge ourselves. Let's see if we can cover all these in like 10 minutes.
Oh, indeed, I'm sure we can.
Okay.
Absolutely. The first one actually isn't one of the ones listed as a fast story, but there's been a huge amount
Oh,
of
yes.
chatter about fear of how SGE is going to change search. And it's already changing search in very subtle ways. AI has been changing search in subtle ways for good or for ill for easily 2.5 years now, but or machine learning has certainly. But SGE and the chatbot style of search response or query response that we're getting is probably not going to substantially change search this year. Your jobs are probably safe. Here's why I think so. There was a study that was put out by Raptive that suggested Google SGE would cost publishers $2 billion in ad revenues, causing search traffic to drop by up to 60%, which leads to a decrease in digital ad revenue. And then I was thinking about Google's most recent earnings report. And I thought, that's never going to happen in a million
No.
years. Why? I mean, like, I've seen Google shoot itself in the foot many times, but I've never seen Google shoot itself in the face.
Yeah, because when it says it's going to have a drop like that in ad revenue, that means you can't
Everything.
buy any ads. So it's like they made it the way it's written, it sounds like it's just bad for publishers. It's like, no, but then people aren't giving that money to Google and they don't have any replacement for
It's
that at this
costing
point.
publishers $2 billion. It's costing Google $4 or $5 billion.
Yeah,
Ergo, it's never going to happen.
exactly, because they are on the street and have an edict to make more money every time. So I agree with you. I don't think that's going to be a thing. I do think we have to be aware that SGE, if it was ever rolled out fully, would cause declines in search traffic. I also have great trust that if Google saw it drop 1% in its, or even 0.5% in its revenue model, that that quickly would be reversed.
They're not even going to experiment with that. I
Yeah,
mean,
exactly. It's too risky.
there's taking the golden goose out for lunch and fattening it up, and then they're just taking a knife to it. I think they're going to take the golden goose to IHOP. They are not taking the golden goose to the abattoir.
No, exactly. Definitely not.
Okay, so if you're thinking that it was those damn spammy links that screwed you on the spam or March 2024 core update, it wasn't. Almost certainly wasn't. In a response on Twitter about those damn spammy links and disavowing, or didn't, I'm sorry, didn't mention disavowing, John Mueller said, don't waste your time. Focus on other things. Google's great at seeing link patterns and how links got formed and why links got formed. And if it doesn't like it, it'll just probably just ignore it.
Yeah, it's I will say though one caveat to this, because I had this happen on a site. Google is good at dropping most, but not all of the spammy links. And we had a situation where the site search allowed the people to create the same words on the page that were in links. At that point, Google did not disavow and did not remove them because it was matching the site. So they didn't see it as spam. So there are times when you might need to use a disavow, but be extremely careful when you do, because you can very much harm your site. But when it comes to the spam update, this is not a major issue. So,
I mean, and it, now if you've been out there seriously screwing about with links, stop doing that. And you might have made a problem for yourself.
yes, yeah, you could have made a problem in that way. If Google can't easily tell which ones to devalue, you could still be hit. That could be part of your manual action in your person, pure spam.
If a competitor, on the other hand, went out and did this to you, well, you might have a problem, but it's unlikely. Google will probably catch that this wasn't a natural link build. Google will catch your screwing around as this wasn't a natural link build as well, which is
And
why they
also,
really stopped chasing links, because it's like whack-a-mole. Why bother?
yeah, plus I really think the original Penguin algorithms were to get all those disavows so they knew where all the spammy links were. So once they had enough of those, they'd stop doing the Penguin algorithm. I would say, though, one thing people should be careful about are two things. One, if your competitors got a bunch of their links devalued, your site could lose traffic. And if you can't find out why your site lost traffic, you've done everything, you've viewed everything, check if you lost a bunch of links, because it's very possible that could cause it. Because we're having massive devaluations going on right now, so you want to make sure you check into that. And then with this kind of thing, you just want to be careful. It is not natural for a site to have no bad links. So I see sites that'll go in and they disavow every low value link because they went in and looked at the DA or DR, which, by the way, are not Google metrics. Those are proprietary to the tools. Domain authority and what's DR? I forgot, mean something. But don't go in and devalue all your low value links, because that's not natural for a site to have no low value links. Everybody has low value links.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. I mean, you're using the DM score to remove all the 30s and below. Yeah, don't do that. It's
Yeah,
probably
don't do
not a
that.
good idea.
That's not natural either. Buying links is not natural, and getting rid of every spammy link is not natural.
But you know what? Publishing content in bulk might be natural. It mightn't be spam at any rate. There's an SEO myth out there that if you publish content by the bulk, you put up like 30 or 40 articles at a time, that Google's going to think, oh my goodness, this is all craptastic articles, and
Yeah.
automatically think it's spam. It doesn't. You might have just put up 30 articles,
And
and they
remember,
might be good.
Google doesn't look at one metric to decide if something's spam. I see a lot of people go, "Oh, it was acceleration of the content you put out there." No, you put out 200 articles, and Google then evaluated that everything else was good on your site. You're not going to get a spam action. If you got a spam action, it's because they evaluated and thought many things were spammy.
Well, how many times have you built a new website and uploaded 2 pages of content? Or,
Right.
I'm sorry, 200 pages of content. You know,
Years
boom,
ago,
it's there.
we did 2,000 pages of content, and we started ranking really well, really fast, and they were good content, all original. So it's not a thing just that you published content. Now, if you put up 10,000 pages of content at one time, yeah, that could be a thing.
Okay, this next story gets the old school SEO in me. Just the hair on the back of my neck just raises in this story. Okay, but according to John Mueller, and you know he's the canonical source here. Canonicalizing from www to non-www won't impact your search rankings. Okay, so again, the old school SEO in me is going, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it
Well,
will.
because
Yes, it will. You got to
yeah,
figure out what. You've got to do it. Yes, it will.
he says it might be a little blip, but goes to normal quickly. But I wouldn't test that theory because you could be the anomaly that doesn't go back to normal quickly. So just I would fix it on the server side before I fix it on the canonical side.
I mean, like, yes, it will. Okay.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
what?
it's like
Okay. So define little blip. What does that mean to Mueller? What does that mean to SEOs?
He doesn't say. He specifically, the quote is, "This won't cause problems with search visibility, rankings, indexing. When the canonical URL switches, it just switches. You might see a little blip, but it goes back to normal very quickly. And most you see in whatever analytics you use, if you separate it out in WW and non-WW. Only thing is,
So
if you switch to a different domain, that's when you would see a big difference. But if you're switching to a new domain, yes, your canonical should register the new domain, but you should have done a 301 redirect on that page anyway."
indeed, like so, have your redirects set up. If you move from www to non-www or non-www to www, redirect to the URL hierarchy that you've used, that you've gone with. That's now your canonical. Redirect to that.
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay, so
We got some stories on Google search changes. I think we can get through those pretty quickly.
well, this one kind of bugs me. Google removing phone numbers from hotel search listings.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's a bug because very short wrote the story. Couldn't on SEO Roundtable. He couldn't confirm whether it was a bug or not. Google didn't get back to him in time. But let's hope that's a bug, because that's one of the few things I actually use the phone number for in
I
Google
hope
Search.
it's a bug. I mean, the inside cynic is like, nope, this is captured market capitalism in action. Google's done this before, limited users access to information that would take them away from the click and into Google's ecosystem. So I don't know. I hope it's a bug too, because if it's not, it's an ugly move.
Yes, very much. Next thing Google search changes is they changed the product image snippet variations. This is real simple. They were showing seven shoes and now they're showing three. You know, when you get like those store looking results, which I actually don't like, but instead of being overwhelmed with like seven images per listing, you're now going to get three images per listing on one line instead of multiple lines.
So, you know, the first place my brain goes to as well, like, you know, that could actually speed up page loads. You don't have so many images to carry around.
True, very true. Actually, that might be why they did it.
Yay. So yay
Yay.
for that. I have a I my newest thing is chasing after incidents of social images. My near perfect website, the one that I'm so proud of,
Yeah.
that's the newest bugbear. Now we have to defer those.
The first social images?
Yeah, hadn't seen that as a problem before. Now that there's no other problems to see, it's a major problem.
What do you
So
mean by
yeah.
social images?
Oh, Facebook and Instagram and the little
Oh,
icons, little
gotcha.
teeny
Okay.
icons.
Oh, gotcha.
When you're well, hold on. I mean, when you're thinking of a smaller, like a WordPress site, like 50 or 60 pages, that's not a lot. But when you're thinking of like a major e-com site that, you know, has a lot of pages, saving a kilobyte here or there actually adds up.
And also, those scripts are pretty heavy to begin with, so anything you can do to lighten that up is good.
Yeah. So that's my new book, Bear.
So Google Images is giving notices to people about memes that can be disturbing. This isn't new, but it's being noticed more or maybe being enacted more. So if you post an images in the, this is in the story, it just said Jewish memes, and then they got a notice that maybe that could be disturbing or hurtful to groups of people. That doesn't mean they're blocking anything. They're just saying, hey, if are you looking at this for a good reason or a bad reason? And if it's a bad reason, maybe you should rethink it. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, Google's asking you to rethink the your moral reasons for choosing to do things, which you may or may not need to do. It's neat that they're doing it, or interesting that they're doing it. Don't think it's going to slow down people from being anti-Semitic, I'm afraid.
No, I mean, if you're going to do that anyways, you're not going to care about the pop-up, but maybe it'll give people who don't normally think about those things a reason to think about it. So,
Okay.
you go ahead, your
Last
turn.
couple of stories. Where do you want to
Oh
go?
no, we have to cover one story at the very end. We might go over by 5 minutes, but we have to cover it. But let's get through these last three. I think we have on Google search changes. What do you
Go
want to
for it.
go?
What do you got?
Google is officially replacing the perspectives filter with the forms filters, you know, in the top tabs when you're in Google search, and it has like news and all and images. Now they're going to stay, instead of perspectives, it's going to say forms, which makes more sense in the first place because that's pretty much where they're getting the information from is forms. Perspective was kind of a wonky, ambiguous term. Like, what is
Well,
perspective?
after you make a $60 million content deal, you gotta do something with it, don't you?
Right? And one in the rules of usability, don't make your phrases when people have to click a button something that people have to think about. Perspectives is like, what does that mean? Forms are like, oh, I'm going to get forms. So that's a good change. They also have a new change where they're getting feedback on SGE, the, you know, the generated results from the AI, on affiliate results and Google News results. There's two different kind of pop-ups. The affiliate one is just like, I'm not sure if it's specific to affiliates. When Barry Schwartz wrote about this, he's just, that's where they saw it. And it's just basically, do you like this or do you not like this result? And then in news, they think it's just more related to like general news items. Like, do you like these news results that we gave you? So give the feedback if you feel like it. Not going to change anything directly. It's going to be just used as aggregate data to decide how those are working. And you want to do Uber, Jim?
Well, apparently, you're unable to remove an Uber Eats button from Google Business profiles. According to Google's policies, order delivery providers are required to remove third-party links from a profile within 5 business days if a business requests it, but Uber Eats is telling some people that they can't do it. They just can't. Remove the Uber Eats button from Google profile listings at this time. I'm unsure where this is going to go. Google says they got to do it within 5 days. I'm hoping that maybe Google will come up with a googly solution and manually remove them.
Yeah, that would be good because apparently Uber is writing people to tell them they literally cannot remove it and they've tried. And so there's some reason that they're not being allowed to. So they're in violation of a Google policy, which can hurt Uber, but they actually, because then you're supposed to report them if they don't remove it. But Uber can't actually, it seems like, remove
This
the
is one of
actual
those
button.
things that who do you believe in this? Like, because for
I
some
know,
reason I don't
right?
believe Uber. I don't know why,
I
but I
know.
just
What?
I but
Really?
I maybe they're telling the truth. They could be, and if they are,
I hope
well, they got a
so.
problem, but I don't believe them.
I hope they've morphed into a better company than how they
No,
started.
they haven't. Why should
They
they?
haven't. Why should they? That's true. So we got to all those good Google search. See, I told you we could do all those in like less than 10 minutes. But we do have one thing we did not mention, and we have to mention because it's a very big story today. It's not about Google. It's about Apple.
Oh, Apple, the DOJ. Yeah, okay, so Apple is being jumped on by the DOJ antitrust. Apple is suing the DOJ is suing Apple over the iPhone monopoly. It's a
No, just Apple,
massive.
not just iPhone.
I'm sorry, over the
Yeah.
iPhone monopoly.
No, not, I'm saying it's not just iPhone, it's more than iPhone,
Oh,
but
over
it's mostly
the
iPhone.
entire closed garden ecosystem.
Basically, yeah. So this is actually to benefit users like you or I might buy an iPhone or to benefit developers. So it's a very long list. They actually did a TV presser on this. So it's a very important case. They actually charge him with a legal monopoly. So it's not just like those are normal, like, oh, we're going to find you some money. Like there was a time there, like I would, with my Android, send someone Apple a message and they couldn't get it because they wouldn't accept a message from another type of device, which was weird to me. And then when they did start accepting them, this was brought up in the DOJ case today. They degraded the experience and limited the functionality. So you get like pixelated images or videos so that it made it seem like the other phones weren't very good so that users would stay with Apple. But then it was also like Apple, how we know with the App Store, like they're charging developers so much money to be in the App Store and a commission on all their sales. They considered that predatory. So there's a whole bunch of different things. Apple Watch is part of it
Oh,
too. So
Apple's been like this forever.
yes.
PC aficionados tended to be towards PC because you can hot rod your computer, or you used to be able to hot rod your computer. You could make changes to it. Apple's, you can't. There's
Well,
nothing
even
you don't touch.
I
Apple
like my.
products only work with Apple products.
Yes.
iTunes was famous for this in the early days, where they would
Yes.
take your MP3 collection and turn it into an Apple product.
Or even like my Mac, and I love my Mac, and I have an Android phone, but I love my Mac, but it doesn't even have ports to put like a C drive in. Well, now it's a new C's, but the old ones, right? The old USBs. I have to buy devices to connect things to my computer. And then, of course, there's the famous, when you had an Apple phone, you had to buy the Lightning charger. So they have kind of put themselves in a situation where they've just created this very walled garden of things that can only work with things. And even like they talked about like the Apple Wallet. Apple Wallet inserts itself in the process if someone tries to put a credit card into Apple Wallet. So I'm not sure that they're totally off base here. And the goal would be of the suit is to also get users better prices. So they're not paying $1,600 for, the next iPhone. So, but it was worth reading the DOJ statement on this today because if you do use Apple products, especially iPhone, yeah, it's the iPhone monopoly. They just included other things like iMessage, wallet, gaming in there. You might want to read about it and see what's the future
You know,
might be.
the extraordinary thing is if they charged 1600 or even 1800 for the next iPhone, there'd be lineups around the street for it just because the price point makes it look exclusive.
True. Do you know, by the way, how much market share they have, which shocked me.
Oh, I think they have 60% plus.
64%. All my friends have Samsung for the most part. So I didn't know that they were that dominant. But yeah, 64%. I
Yeah,
think
absolutely.
the
Absolutely.
government is saying they didn't get there themselves just through competition and capitalism. They got there by fixing the markets, basically.
Yeah, indeed. I know very little about the Apple universe because I've been a PC user almost my entire, actually my entire career. I've been a PC user. I used Apple in university and in high school, but in the working world, I've only used PCs.
Oh, and there's one last story we don't have in the sheet, but I just need to tell you about it real quick because people do need to know. French competition watchdog hits Google with a $250 million euro fine for intellectual property infringement based on AI training.
Google
That's the
looks
first one
at
I've heard of.
fine and thinks of it as cost of doing business.
True, very true. But it is in the course of it's in the EU, but it is in the course of what we've been talking about for the last year and a half. I don't think there's any other lawsuit that's been strictly based on intellectual property violations like this. So anyway, so they were fined for intellectual property violations for training on people's content, without,
Without people's specific permission.
or remuneration. I cannot say the word today.
Remuneration.
Thank you. I always want to put an N in there. So anyway,
See,
those.
and here's a weird thing. In some ways, Google has, and not necessarily Google, but the AI companies, because there's several of them, cut their own throats when they make content deals with, say, Reddit, or with, even with authors. There are several authors who have now sold their libraries to OpenAI or to Gemini or to whomever, for specifically for training. Once you've done that, you signed away your copyright. It's fine, train on it, you do whatever you want with it. But you've got scads of money in the deal. If they can do that for some authors, they owe it to the others.
Why not the rest? And also, the interesting part is they're not fighting this fine. They have dropped their fight of it and are accepting the fine.
Oh yeah,
So
indeed. They
that,
don't. Could you imagine the can of worms that opens in court? This is much
yeah.
like the early algorithm days when, if you wanted to win against Google, you just challenge the algorithm.
Yeah, pretty much. So Google has accepted the $250 million fine for violating intellectual property laws in the EU. And as you said, if they can pay one, why aren't they paying everyone?
Well, again, when they started making training deals for content, they I think they opened the barn door on it. So,
Yeah, I think you're right, definitely. So anyways, those are the last two stories, but we did need to cover those today.
okay, so that was the week that was in search and AI. Next week's actually gonna be fun. We have this is actually a really cool trend. There's another charity conference, a micro charity conference, this time being organized by Dave Rohr and being spoken at by Ryan Jones, both of whom are guests on next week's show.
Exactly, I can't wait. It's gonna be a great show, so.
Yeah. Where is Dave working now? I think a s small startup in Sunnyvale.
Yeah, I think it starts with a Y, but I'm
Yeah,
not sure.
and
Not sure.
of course Ryan Jones is the senior SEO at Sapient, formerly Razorfish.
Believe he's a VP at now, but
A VP, yes. Well, he is the senior SEO in this
yeah.
company. I mean, he's when it comes to SEOs and that company, I'm almost 90% sure he's the dude. You know, when he walks down the hall, like, people
Ryan and Dave together.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, it's gonna be
Going to
fun.
be
We're gonna
huge
talk
fun.
about the search updates and search in general and things like that.
Okay, so friends, we've gone full circle on Webcology on the recorded live to podcast on the 21st of March, 2024. Happy spring. Be good to each other. Be kind. Rank well. Be good webmasters. And on behalf of Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedge from Digital Always Media. Be well. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.